Good afternoon once again. Well, we've designated this day as our Thanksgiving Sabbath, and in a little less than 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating our national holiday, Thanksgiving Day. Well, it's a good time to remember all the things that we are thankful for. But, of course, we should have a thankful attitude all the time. You've probably heard people say that thankfulness or gratitude is the mother of all virtues. And I suppose they say that because gratitude is an attitude that inspires other good attitudes. It's hard to have a bad attitude when you're feeling grateful. Unfortunately, ingratitude is probably the most prevalent sin. It's easier to have self-pity than appreciation. It's easier to criticize than compliment. Griping, grumbling, and being grouchy are just doing what comes naturally. They're part of our negative, self-centered nature. Now, most of us probably think that we are thankful, and that's good if it's true. But thankfulness must be expressed to be of value. Giving thanks is much better than being thankful. Giving thanks is good for both the giver and the receiver. See, thankfulness is passive, but thanksgiving is active. It involves action. And thanks are something that need to be given away. So on the fourth Thursday of November, we celebrate Thanksgiving Day, not Be Thankful Day, right? So it's good to be thankful, but when people say they are thankful, are they really thankful? People tend to give themselves the credit for most of the things they have, but true thankfulness is being thankful to others. For example, someone could say, I'm thankful I have a good job, and really mean that they're happy to have that job. It's better to think about all the people throughout their life who prepared them for that job, or to thank God for making it possible for them to have that job. And it would be even better to thank God and those people. So being thankful is thinking about others and what they've done for you. And giving thanks is oriented outwardly. Giving thanks is expressing our gratitude toward others. Now, we usually show our gratitude to others when we feel indebted to them, when we feel that we have benefited from their actions, and we want to make our feelings toward them known. Well, most of the time, we show gratitude to give the good feelings that we have back to the giver. When we thank others, we make them happier. Now, what's interesting about gratitude, giving gratitude to others, is that it also benefits us. Science shows that giving thanks to others improves our physical and mental health. Now, according to an article I found on positivepsychology.com, research shows that gratitude can, there are seven things that they were listed there. Number one is help you make friends. One study found that thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek a more lasting relationship with you. Second, improve your physical health. People who exhibit gratitude report fewer aches and pains, a general feeling of health, more regular exercise, and more frequent checkups with their doctor than those who don't. Third, improve your psychological health. Grateful people enjoy higher well-being and happiness and suffer from reduced symptoms of depression. Fourth, enhance empathy and reduce aggression. Those who show gratitude are less likely to seek revenge against others and more likely to behave in a pro-social manner with sensitivity and empathy. Fifth, improve your sleep. Practicing gratitude regularly can help you sleep longer and better. 6, enhance your self-esteem. People who are grateful have increased self-esteem, partly due to their ability to appreciate other people's accomplishments. And last, increase your mental strength. Grateful people have an advantage in overcoming trauma and enhanced resilience, helping them to bounce back from highly stressful situations. So the Bible and science agree that being grateful is a good thing. So today I want to show you the importance of being thankful and giving thanks. Now, numerous scriptures show that God wants us to be thankful to Him, thankful for His blessings. And the Bible emphasizes action. In the New King James Version, the word thankful appears only 3 times, but the word thanksgiving appears 31 times. And the phrases give thanks and give you thanks appears 43 times. So the Bible has a lot to say about, the Bible also has a lot to say about ingratitude. One of the greatest basic weaknesses of human nature is ingratitude. After their exodus from Egypt, the ancient Israelites spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness until the earlier faithless generation died out. In the book of Deuteronomy, God, through Moses, reminded the new generation of the importance of obedience if they were to learn from the bad example of their parents. They were strongly encouraged to remember God's law and their parents' lack of obedience. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses repeated God's commandments to the Israelites. And in verse 29, God expressed His disappointment that they didn't have a heart to consistently obey Him. You're probably familiar with Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. It says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and their children forever." Lack of obedience to God may indicate ingratitude or a lack of gratitude. If we acknowledge that God's standards are superior to ours, but we fail to obey them, we show a lack of understanding, our personal weakness, or a willingness to disobey. All may indicate our lack of gratitude for what God has given us. And an attitude of thankfulness, on the other hand, can help counteract this weakness. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here, God addresses the importance of blessings of gratitude, or the importance and blessings of gratitude, and strongly cautions us to avoid the curses of ingratitude. So that's Deuteronomy 8. Let's begin with verse 1. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years." Moses reminded the people how carefully God had taken care of them in the wilderness. He miraculously fed them with manna for 40 years, and also reminded them that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let's drop down to verse 7. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. So since God was bringing them into a fertile, productive land filled with brooks of water, fountains and springs, wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, olive oil and honey, as well as iron and copper, they should have been grateful. God warned them about the human weakness of ingratitude and the tendency to give ourselves credit for what we have instead of God. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Well, this warning of ingratitude is not just for ancient Israel. Lack of gratitude is a common problem for man, even today. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Do these verses describe us today? If we become a society of demanding complainers, lovers of ourselves, instead of being thankful? Ingratitude is actually a sign of immaturity. Unhappiness in some people is caused by ingratitude about who they are or are not, what they have or do not have, or what they do or do not get to do. Being thankful, on the other hand, makes us feel better inside. Now, the cure for unhappiness is being thankful. Ingratitude has its roots in pride. Someone who's not thankful thinks that they should have more. They believe they deserve better than what they have, or they believe they alone are responsible for all that they have. People seek happiness through the accumulation of material things, and people that feel entitled do not express gratitude. Research has shown that gratitude is essential for happiness. Let's go now to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 18 through 25. In Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We must never forget that God is the creator of all things and the source of everything that we have. Everything in God's creation is perfect. And we should give him the credit and thank him for everything that he created. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 17. This is a familiar story of the 10 lepers. It's Luke chapter 17, and we'll begin with verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Well, being a leper at that time was worse than death. Leprosy itself was painful and debilitating, and there was no cure for it. So it meant a slow, agonizing death. But lepers were also driven out of their communities. They were considered unclean and were not allowed to have contact with other people or healthy people. They were only allowed to have contact with other lepers. Now, while we were at the feast in Greece, we visited Spinalonga, which is also known as the Island of Tears. I see Tobin shaking his head. Maybe they went there as well. I don't remember. But between 1903 and 1957, it was used as a leper colony. So even as recently as 1957, lepers were isolated from the rest of the population. And they were sent to this small, rocky island off the coast of Crete, off the shores there of Crete. It was a terrible thing, terrible life. Jesus healed these men and saved them from a terrible life. It was a great act of mercy and a very generous gift. But only one of the lepers came back to thank God and give him glory. And it was a Samaritan. The Samaritan was very humble and grateful. And not only did he have a grateful attitude, he expressed his gratitude. So we have to be humble to be grateful. Humility is a key to gratitude. And again, it's good to have a grateful attitude, but we should go beyond that to express our gratitude. David wrote in Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." But David didn't always have a grateful attitude. There was a time when David's actions showed a lack of gratitude for all that God had done for him. And I'm talking about the time when David killed Uriah and took Uriah's wife. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll just read here what Nathan said to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 12. I just want to read verses 7 and 8. 2 Samuel 12, verse 7. "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have given you much more.'" David had many wives, but he wasn't satisfied. He wanted another woman. His actions showed that he wasn't satisfied with what God had given him. Apparently, being the king of Israel had gone to his head, and he had forgotten that God had given him everything he had. Are we satisfied with what God has given us? And we must never forget that God has given us everything that we have, and he's willing to give us more. But we must be grateful for what we have. Let's look at another example. If you turn to Genesis chapter 3. I think we're all familiar with this story. Satan convinced Adam and Eve that God had not given them enough, and that God was withholding something good from them. Let's begin with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'God, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" God had told Adam and Eve that they could eat the fruit of all the trees in the garden except one. But they were not satisfied with that, and they ate the forbidden fruit. Like David, they coveted what they didn't have. They didn't look at all that they did have. They looked at what they didn't have. A lack of gratitude for what we have can cause us to covet. To covet what we don't have. In Colossians 3, verse 5, Paul wrote about covetousness. I actually want to look at a number of scriptures now that Paul wrote. First, in Colossians. See, Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So covetousness is a state of not being satisfied or not being content with what we have. It's a form of greed. And if we are unhappy that God hasn't given us something, are we following the suggestion of Satan instead of God's command, like Adam and Eve? We can't let our desire for something we do not have come before our obedience to God. And that's why covetousness is idolatry. Let's read now what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 11. Just back a few pages, Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. Paul learned to be content with whatever God provided. Again, a lack of gratitude can cause us to be dissatisfied with what God has provided. Instead, we need to be grateful and thank God for everything He has given us. Giving thanks to God is the same as giving Him glory, giving glory and praise to God. Remember what we read in Luke 17, verse 8. Jesus said, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" God wants us to be thankful and to give Him thanks, give Him praise and glory. Paul tells us this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Forward a few pages. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 17. I'm sorry, 7. Okay, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul experienced many trials, but despite all that he went through, he tells us to rejoice always, never stop praying, and give thanks to God, regardless of our circumstances. All right, now I want to go back to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here, Paul summarizes some of the trials he experienced. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Despite all that Paul had suffered, he was grateful. and his concern
was for the brethren.
He expressed his gratefulness often and encouraged the brethren at that time to do the same, even though they were experiencing trials and persecution. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here we see Paul telling Timothy how thankful he is for the things God has done for him. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll begin with verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul expresses how grateful he is for God's calling and for the mercy and grace God has shown him. We too should be grateful for our calling and our understanding of the truth and express our thanks to God often. All right, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 now. Here Paul tells the church at Thessalonica how grateful he is for them. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul expresses his gratitude for the brethren and tells them that he gives thanks to God for calling them. We too should be thankful for one another and thank God for those he has called. Let's go back to Colossians, this time chapter 3. Here Paul tells the church at Colossae to love one another and be thankful. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Paul tells the brethren to love one another and give thanks to God. We've been called at this time to be representatives of Jesus Christ, and we should be examples to the world of God's way of life. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at a couple more verses here. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here again, Paul tells us to pray with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. We should always be grateful and thank God for his blessings when we pray. We have so much to be thankful for. We should thank God for giving us life and creating us in His image. We should thank Him for all the things He created for us to enjoy. We should thank Him for His goodness to us. We should thank Him for His love for us. We should thank Him for giving us the Bible. We should thank Him for protecting and providing for us. We should thank Him for sending Jesus Christ to the earth to pay the penalty for our sins. We should thank Him for His forgiveness and the opportunity to become part of His family and live forever. And there's many, many more things that we could thank Him for, like our families, our friends, and the blessings that we enjoy living in this country. And I could go on and on. How often do we thank God for these things? We really need to be thanking God every day. We need to think of something that we are especially thankful for and thank God for it every day. The article I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon is titled 13 Most Popular Gratitude Exercises and Activities by Mike Opland. The article describes exercises and activities designed to help people focus on the things they're grateful for and increase their thankfulness. That would be something good for us to do. The number one most popular exercise is journaling. Writing down the things that you're grateful for or thankful for. He wrote that it's one of the easiest and most popular exercises. And it involves reflecting on the past day or days or week and remembering things that you're especially grateful for. We'll help you pay attention to the things that, the good things that have happened to you. And we'll help you develop a habit of paying attention to what you're grateful for. And it will increase your thankfulness for what you have. We probably don't often think about all the blessings that we've been given, but we should. God wants us to recognize His blessings, be grateful, and thank Him. So we need to focus on the things He's given us and not the things He has not given us. He loves us and He knows what's best for us. As I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, being thankful and expressing our gratitude benefits us as well as others. Focusing on things we're grateful for and having a thankful attitude produces joy and happiness and reduces sadness and depression. Paul told the Philippians to think positive thoughts. So continuing with verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditating on what God has given us puts us in a positive state of mind. We really need to spend some time each day thinking about what God has done for us. It will help us overcome sadness and depression. Now, we tend to think that if we are successful, that we will be happy. But we want more every time we experience success. We're never satisfied. Let's turn to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. Let's read verses 15 and 16. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four, never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough. Have you ever noticed that a fire will completely consume a house if no one puts it out? It doesn't stop until it has consumed everything. The leech. This is an example of the insatiable. As we know, the leech is a parasite that symbolizes greed. And leeches have two suckers, one on each end of their bodies. And that's why verse 15 says the leech has two daughters. The leech and the grave and the fire are used as analogies of the insatiable. They never have enough. Success and wealth do not bring happiness and joy. There is never enough. That's just the way we are. We always want more. Pursuing success and wealth brings stress, anxiety, and worry. And we'll never be happy unless we're thankful for what we have. We should be grateful to God for every success instead of being dissatisfied and wanting more. We should be grateful for every accomplishment, every acquisition, and give thanks to God for making it possible. I'd like to read part of an article I found on psychologytoday.com titled The Grateful Brain. It was written by Dr. Alex Korb. Gratitude, particularly if practiced regularly, can keep you healthier and happier. In this article, I'll share the results of four studies that show how gratitude can, among other things, help you exercise more, sleep better, and be happier. One study by a couple of American researchers assigned young adults to keep a daily journal of things they were grateful for. They assigned other groups to journal about things that annoyed them or reasons why they were better off than others. The young adults assigned to keep the gratitude journals showed greater increases in determination, attention, enthusiasm, and energy compared to the other groups. While that shows a clear benefit of gratitude, it also makes a clear distinction. Realizing that other people are worse off than you is not gratitude. Gratitude requires an appreciation of the positive aspects of your situation. It's not a comparison. Sometimes noticing what other people don't have may help you see what you can be grateful for. But you have to take the next step. You actually have to show appreciation for what you have for it to have an effect. The effect of gratitude is not just limited to young adults who haven't yet been beaten down by the sad realities of life. In addition, even less frequent moments of gratitude can have an effect. The same researchers conducted a separate study on older adults, which showed that even a weekly gratitude journal was beneficial. Right? Instead of a daily journal, that even a weekly gratitude journal was beneficial. Subjects assigned to journal weekly on gratitude showed greater improvements in optimism. But that's not all. It also influenced their behaviors. Keeping a gratitude journal also caused greater improvements in exercise patterns. Lastly, it also caused a reduction in physical ailments. So these subjects had fewer aches and pains. A third study from earlier this year did not require a gratitude journal, but simply looked at the amount of gratitude people tended to show in their daily lives. In this study, a group of Chinese researchers looked at the combined effects of gratitude and sleep quality on symptoms of anxiety and depression. They found that higher levels of gratitude were associated with better sleep and with lower anxiety and depression. Now, this begs the question, is the level of gratitude improving these symptoms, or is it the fact that the patients are getting better sleep? These researchers ran some analyses controlling for the amount of sleep and revealing some interesting links. They found that after controlling the amount of sleep people got, gratitude still had an effect on lower depression scores. This means that regardless of their levels of insomnia, people who showed more gratitude were less depressed. With anxiety, they found a different result. After controlling for sleep, gratitude showed no effect on anxiety. So while higher gratitude led to less anxiety originally, this is simply because it helped people sleep better, and sleeping better improved their anxiety. So gratitude had a direct effect on depression symptoms. The more gratitude, the less depression. And an indirect effect on anxiety. Increased gratitude led to improved sleep, which led to lower anxiety. Either way, with gratitude, you're better off and you get a good night's sleep. The wide variety of effects that gratitude can have may seem surprising, but a direct look at the brain activity during gratitude yields some insight. The final study I'm going to share comes from the National Institutes of Health, or NIH. NIH researchers examined blood flow in various brain regions while subjects summoned up feelings of gratitude. They found that subjects who showed more gratitude overall had higher levels of activity in the hypothalamus. This is important because the hypothalamus controls a huge array of essential bodily functions, including eating, drinking, and sleeping. It also has a huge influence on your metabolism and stress levels. From this evidence on brain activity, it starts to become clear how improvements in gratitude could have such wide-ranging effects, from increased exercise and improved sleep to decreased depression and fewer aches and pains. Furthermore, feelings of gratitude directly activated brain regions associated with the neurotransmitter dopamine. Dopamine feels good to get, which is why it's generally considered the reward transmitter. But dopamine is also almost important, But dopamine is also important in initiating action. That means increases in dopamine make you more likely to do the thing you just did. It's the brain saying, oh, do that again. Gratitude can have such a powerful impact on your life because it engages your brain in a virtuous cycle. Your brain only has so much power to focus its attention. It cannot focus on both positive and negative stimuli. On top of that, your brain loves to fall for the confirmation bias. That is, it looks for things that prove what it already believes to be true. We've already heard that from Stephen. And the dopamine reinforces that as well. So once you start seeing things to be grateful for, your brain starts looking for more things to be grateful for. And that's how the virtuous cycle gets created. So it's not always easy to remember to be grateful, particularly since the human brain is so adaptable. We get used to the comforts around us. Gratitude, thankfulness, takes practice. Thanksgiving Day is a good time to start. And if you want to reap all the benefits, you have to keep practicing after that. Try thinking of one thing every day that you're thankful for. We should be thankful for all that God has given us and express it to God, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. Let's practice thankfulness and make every day a day of giving thanks.